Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, a.k.a. Dr. Love.
And I'm Stephanie Martinez-Reyes.
And you've just joined us on This Is Real.
What's going on, real ones? Man, I'm excited about today's, talk. But yeah, it's kind of like a talk.
Segment. Well,
you know, I don't know what to say. Show, episode, you know. But here we are. What's going on, Pastor Nestor? Where you been?
Man, I've been at home. Nah.
I've been working, traveling. I just saw you... kick on and you like had a cowboy hat and all of a sudden you're like, I've been everywhere, man. You've been everywhere.
Work has me traveling.
Okay.
Been in Michigan, Iowa.
I see you, man. He came in cleaned up. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Faded up, cut my hair.
When did you cut your hair?
About 2-3 weeks ago. Oh no, I'm sorry. I didn't. A long time ago.
What?
Oh, wow.
But I cut my hair yesterday.
Liar.
I cut my hair yesterday again after 3 weeks. But then that's why I always had a hat, because I had a ponytail.
Because you had grown it out.
Yeah. And what happened?
I just got tired of it.
Yeah, it's a lot of maintenance. Wow. Look at Stephanie. All the women in the house say, yeah.
I was like, it's itchy and irritating.
And so let's give some shout outs. Yeah?
Sure.
You want to give some shout outs here? Here's a couple shout outs for
all
you.
Right. And shout I got out some to here. Julio Alemán at Hughes Unit, Hector Delgado in Stevenson, the Arizona prison system. They're very blessed by the word and Pando app. Appreciate you guys. Thank y'all so much. We're blessed by you guys listening. Shout out to Transformation Education Meshler Unit in Tulia, Texas. Awesome.
I thought you were going
to
start rapping.
Keep it up, guys. I was. No, I'm kidding. Shout out to Telford Unit. Andrew, appreciate you. Thank you so much for writing in. Tokyo at Wynn Unit.
Wynn.
Nice. And that's then Pastor Ernesto. Go ahead.
We got a shout out to our brother Abraham Weber in Dallas. I think he's at Wynn Unit as well. He sent this letter to Pastor Juan, and then he sent this drawing of Brian T. Look at this talent, man.
That's wow. Dope.
So we're going to make sure that B gets that. And shout
That's
out
dope.
To Juan
How come
Flores.
They didn't draw us?
I don't know. It should have been Brian, you,
yeah,
me.
Yeah, Stephanie. Yeah, I mean, like, Stephanie. What's up?
I'm going to return
Sender. Hey, listen. Hey, listen, draw us.
Abraham.
No, what's going on?
Yeah. We want a picture,
They're like,
too.
Hey, are they all right? These guys were like, man, we didn't get a picture.
We want to thank all of our partners who support us. Because of you, This Is Real has a tremendous reach from Houston to Galveston and up to the Austin area.
This show reaches over 100 prisons nationwide with over 500,000 inmates tuning in weekly to hear the good news through our radio show and the Pando app.
To partner with us, visit juanmartinez.tv or download the free Get Rap TV app.
Okay, so, you know, I'm just going to shout out some units, right? Lynn Unit, Wynn Unit, which... Arizona Department of Corrections, Jimmy Guzman, come on. Let's see, Dallas County. Man, we got a lot of Dallas letters. So big shout out to Dallas and the Pando app and them watching. Arizona again, Connolly Unit, Geary Unit, Allred, Dallas, Connolly Clemens, Robertson, Hamilton, Okaloosa Jail, Gorey Unit, Indiana, Lancaster, Connecticut, Enfield, Connecticut, Polunsky Unit, come on.
Shout out Polunsky Unit.
Polunsky. Ellsworth Unit, Washington State. Stringfellow Unit, Dallas, California, New Jersey, Tampa. Hobby Unit and Clemens Unit.
We're actually going to Stringfellow Unit for the Crusade.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Stringfellow. I mean, we're going, I think there's a couple dates. I don't just be remembering because it'd be all these dates, but, you know. We'll
the women's prison now, too.
The women's, yeah, I saw that. I'm excited.
That's super fun.
Yeah, so we're coming to a prison near you. And so, okay, so somebody, you know, there's been a lot of people coming to our church, you know, when they get out of prison.
Oh, I have another name to shout out.
Hold on.
I just have to find it.
Well, you know, we let's keep talking while you
go
find
ahead,
it, because we don't want to, we're like,
wait. I thought it was right here, but I don't remember where it is.
And so we're going to talk about, the topic I want to talk about. Really, I didn't think about this topic, but once I started thinking about the topic,
Yes, that's who I'm talking about. So shout out to John Chris Hernandez Jr. Darlene Martinez, his wife, came and visited us, and that's who.
Super dope. So what's his name again?
John Chris Hernandez
John
Jr.
Chris Hernandez. So really, John Chris Hernandez, this is his topic.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to talk about, he said, why don't y'all talk about the fear of change? He's like, a lot of brothers in there, you know, still acting a fool. A lot of things. It's not just in there. A lot of brothers out here acting a fool. Hey, and they free. It's like they got the key. Yeah. And they stay stuck, you know. And so fear of change, right, is what he wanted us to talk about. And so, you know, I started thinking about that, right? Because, you know, when you were like, before you even knew Jesus, you were only thinking of change, but all selfishly, right? Mm-hmm. So you weren't really ever thinking like, I don't remember. I guess I don't remember ever thinking. I remember having thoughts of like, maybe I should chill, you know, because you just did another bid. But it was outcome based, right? Like, I didn't like the consequences. Mm-hmm. So I kept saying, man, maybe I got to change because I didn't like this. It wasn't like a change so that I won't have this, right? So I feel like we're on this constant, you only try to change based on consequences that you don't like. Mm-hmm. And so you keep doing the same thing over and over again. You know, you wind up in the same place. You have to wind up in the same friends. You wind up in the same thing. So I don't ever think, like, am I afraid to change? But that's a real thing. That's a real thing, right? Because I think when we don't really know the outcome, I think when you get saved, well, for me, it was a little bit a radical type thing. Like, I was already, like, ready. I was like, I'm ready, you know? Yeah. But I still have moments where... I wouldn't say maybe it's a fear of change, but it is a fear of change when I'm struggling inside to learn something new. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard, right? We just kind of had this, you're in ministry. You kind of have these mm-hmm. all the time. And you could either stay stuck or by faith you move forward, right? But I'm really good at beating myself up sometimes.
I think we all are. Yeah. You're gonna
say, worse than me. And then I gotta get. Now the beauty is that I know how to get out of it.
Yeah.
You know, cause in Christ. You know, we could be like, one day, and then once I get in the car and I'm praying, or I go home and I start praying, reading my word, I'm like,
thank you, Lord.
I shouldn't have even got like that.
Yeah.
You know. So why do you think people are afraid or have fear of change?
I don't know, man. I think fear of change stems from from personal experience, I would say. Because I'm listening to you about your fear of change or your tendency of change. Mine was driven by idolatry, you know, the idolatry of being accepted, being approved of, you know, sometimes even the idolatry of being in control. I think I changed to fit what was popular. I changed to fit what was accepted so that I could be accepted so I wouldn't feel left out. You know what I mean? And I think when it comes to like changing for Christ, the fear of you losing everything that you've sort of kind of worked to get may be a fear, like your friendships, you know, your people, your best friends, money, popularity, you know, that lifestyle. Like it could be fearful to lose those things that sometimes you have such a value and an appreciation for. And I think that can be fearful, you know what I mean? But I think the power is in understanding, like, God has better, man.
Well, that's the whole, I think, what kind of helps us, right? Because I had this in that my last book, I had wrote something about worry is just you basically constantly thinking of something negative happening, right? And when we don't know what'll happen, you start making scenarios in your head and you start worrying, right? Mm-hmm. So you, rather than, you know, the Bible tells us in Philippians to think about these things that are honorable, that are pure, right? But when you really don't practically know how to do that yet, or even when you know how to do it, right? Because you have these moments where, you know, you just start, you create, like, let's say you see a cloudy day, you start taping up. I think a long time ago I had a sermon where I was like, we see a cloudy day and we start taping up the windows and we start thinking hurricane, you know? But it's like it drizzles or something, you know what I mean? It doesn't even get as bad as what you think it will get, but you go so much off of your past experiences. Because remember, you can't even see the kingdom until you're actually born again. Mm-hmm. So like, if you're like still like in church and not born again, we're like, turn off! So you wind up thinking, I think your brain just goes to like the worst thing that could happen.
Yeah.
Rather than a better outcome, right? Because Jesus is like, my promises.
You know, as far that you said Sunday was like you live from a wound. You know, I think even that can be a sense of a fear to change, because maybe you've tried to change. Maybe you gave something different a try and your experience or the result of it was wound. You got wounded.
Yeah.
You got hurt.
Yeah.
So now you have a false belief of that.
Oh, no, all day long.
Every time you change, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt.
Well, that's the picture. When you operate out of a wound, you basically live off of that picture.
Yeah. You can't help it.
That's what the wound is, right? That's what you actually see. That's why your perspective is not just what you see. How you see what you see is actually mm-hmm. a perspective. So when you're wounded or you had, like, traumatic experience, it didn't even have to be because traumatic to the eye of the beholder, right? Because you just from selling drugs, maybe fighting all the time, getting beat up, or, you know, whatever the case may be. When you get into, that's why the whole even conflict thing, when you start thinking about, you mention it until we mentioned and we started really living out a lot at the office and all that, like talking about healthy conflict. When I heard conflict, I thought this, fatigues, you know, like even now fatigues, you know, you think like everybody says like, you're going to war. So it's the same concept, right? Like people joking around, they see me walking in, even though I look super fly. Yeah. They go, you going to war? You laugh, but it's the picture that people have mm-hmm. based upon seeing the outfit. Mm-hmm. And I think in our of being afraid or fear of change is because we have such a picture, right? Because by faith is like, yo, rain's coming, whether you see it or not. Because
yeah.
God said it, and us stepping into that in being uncomfortable, because you're going to be uncomfortable. It's not like,
that's the first thing that comes to mind when we talk about that is that mm-hmm. sometimes it's not even like change good or bad. It's just that you're so comfortable and you think that where you are mm. without changing is your safety net. And so mm. it's just this false thing of like, well, I don't want to get out of routine or I don't want to take a risk. And if I do try to change this or that, then, you know, there the possibility of something, you know, totally. Going wrong or going, you know, not the way you planned is kind of like, you know, lording over you. But
yeah, and it takes time, right? So we know that change is not familiar, mm-hmm. right? Change is not familiar. It's not. And we actually have certain beliefs, we have values, whether you say you don't or not, right? If you weren't used to, I think, I mean, you always talk about the father thing, and you're like, well, this is new to me.
Yeah.
So it's like, yes, but don't let that keep you stuck. Like step out and yeah. do something that, like yesterday you went to pizza, even though it might have been like, oh, their memory is going to be like, yo, dad used to take us out to pizza and we would fight in the back.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? But your memory might be like, oh, the kids, you know? But it's good to go to that place to be like, man, rather than the kids, it's more like, man, I got to kick it with my kids. Yeah. I got to, right? Their memory is always going to be like, man, remember?
I just shared mine.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, you just shared your memory.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we know that basically, whether it's relationships, any of those things, and I think you said something that's pretty powerful when it comes to being comfortable. If you're comfortable and just looking for familiar places, you'll never step out to the unknown. Mm-hmm. And that's not how God works.
Yeah.
That's not how God works. Like, all throughout, you know, Abraham, Noah. All of like, them. It's like, go, and mm-hmm. then I'll show you, right? So we like the opposite.
Show me, then I'll go.
Yeah, you're like show me what this is going to actually look like, mm-hmm. and then I'll go. And that didn't even happen in the other thing. Because
yeah.
here's the crazy part.
You're lying.
Yeah, when you didn't know, like, you know, when people even said, like, yo, you might get murked out there, you know, you might get killed, you might get this, right? You still did it with the thought of, like, I'm going to be okay,
yeah.
right? And so then if you got beat up, you went out with another thought that said, not next time.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, it's like we become Christians, and it's like, I can't do any of that. It's like, bro, you did stuff that was way
life-threatening.
Harder. We get upset. I can't believe she said that to me. I'm like, or he said that to me, or whatever. Like, this big old argument. It's like, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I used to tell my wife, like, when we used to get in, like, disagreements, I wanted to, like, have this conversation, you know, where I was like, look, nobody got home at 3 a.m. Ain't no lipstick on a collar. You didn't come with, like, a dude's number in your thing. We have a pretty great life. Like, some of the stuff we get into disagreements about is real minimal. You know what I'm saying? We're arguing about the color of a wall or something.
Yeah.
Like it's not that serious. And so I think part of, like, not just change, not being familiar, is also that it might require work.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to stay the same than it is to grow or change and progress.
Yeah, you think it's a lot easier?
Even staying the same requires work.
But in your mind of not wanting to change, you're like, well, we know after the fact that that was a lot tougher. Your life was a lot harder because you decided to stay, you know, in the same spot.
Well, it takes the same amount of energy,
but but in your mind, you're feeling like, oh, you know, I can't because I'm going to do this. But we're like, you either like face the consequences here or you continually.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I get what you're saying because she's back to the comfort.
Yeah.
So even though like women would be like, you're crazy for once you get out, you're like, man, you still want to do that?
Yeah.
But they've done it for so long that in there, it's kind of like
it's like the fear of the unknown.
Yeah. You could be in something toxic. You ever been in a toxic relationship?
Yeah. I was el tóxico.
Look at this is real. The real ones want to know.
It was perfect.
You're like, I was the toxicity.
Yeah. They were in relationships with me.
Hey, you have the little smoke. You're like, whoa. No, but
I think if you're not in Christ, then you're toxic yourself. So it's really just...
So everybody was toxic.
Everybody, yeah.
Yeah. So, but think about it. You remained in it. You went off of a feeling, right? Like you know, they even have songs. The best part of breaking up is when you're making up. You know, that's when you're doing your thing.
I thought you were singing Folgers.
Folgers.
Yeah. It's Folgers Senior.
Oh, dang. I'm old.
I was like, what song did you say?
Yeah. There was check it out. Yeah, it's my age. It was a disco era. There was a song
in
the
disco. You know where Folgers got it from? Yeah.
In the disco era. Yeah, I just showed Nina Sonia. She's like, isn't that? I'm like, everything that comes in the ladder comes from something, right? Yeah, it's a type of form. So I didn't want to make it all spiritual, right? I'm like, because in the Old Testament, you know. But that was a disco song that basically said that the best part of breaking up was when you have sex after.
Yeah.
Right? When you're making up. The best part of breaking up is when you're making up. Like, you're like, we're
Folgers Senior. Folgers Senior.
Pastor Ness was like, I still like that song.
So the thought was that these little temporary happiness, basically these temporary things that make us happy, it's not joy. It's not the joy that we have. So when we were toxic, we lived off of temporary moments.
Like these highs.
Yeah. Temporary moments, right? Like, oh, you know, okay, oh, you had this big argument, you almost killed each other, you almost ran her over, but then all of a sudden you made out. And then it's like, I love you. I love you too. It's like, no, you actually are clueless. Yeah, you almost killed me. You almost ran over the car, you know? Yeah. Like, so we do that all the time. Or you smoke the blunt.
Are you ready to take your relationships to new heights? We'd like to invite you to the most anticipated event of the year, the Love Wins Conference.
Join us February 9th and 10th for an unforgettable weekend filled with love, laughter, and growth. Whether you're newlyweds, celebrating years of bliss, or going through rough patches, this conference is designed to reignite the flame and strengthen the foundation of your relationship.
We've put together a team of relationship experts who will share their wisdom and strategies for navigating the twists and turns of your marriage, from communication to intimacy, conflict resolution to emotional connection. Our speakers will empower you with the tools you'll need for a lifelong fulfilling partnership.
Get ready to roll up your sleeves and participate in interactive workshops where you'll dive deep into your relationship, uncover hidden truths, and explore new ways of building trust and intimacy. You'll learn practical techniques that will help transform your relationship for the better.
And it's not just about learning, but also about creating memories together. Join us for our Love Wins Prom Night. It's designed to strengthen your connection and reignite the spark. This is a chance to break away from the daily grind and rediscover the joy of being in each other's arms.
So mark your calendars and join us for a transformative weekend at the Love Wins Conference. Ignite the passion, deepen the connection, and build a love that will stand the test of time.
Reserve your spot today and invest in your marriage so you too can say, love wins.
And so for that moment, you were happy, which is totally opposite of what Jesus wants to give you, right? He doesn't want to give you this temporary thing. And that's the part we kind of have to understand, that in this, you know, life, when you he's not saying, hey, you could kill me and I'm still happy, but you just recognize what's crazy and what's not. You get to rightly
divide. I think
divide.
Your morals and your beliefs and your values change. Room.
You're about to take off. Get ready.
Your morals and your values and your beliefs, they change. You know, so I don't know. I forgot my train of thought.
Morals, values.
Yeah.
Believes.
Yep. Look, I had put here old habits die hard. It said New Year's resolutions, if successful, can mean uncomfortable alterations. Old habits die hard. Establishing new ones can loom or downright impossible. What? Can loom. Basically, you're gloomy, right? Because you get it sad or upset. And then losing weight, studying scripture, making new friends, saving money, all of those things. I remember I wanted to do this little devotional that was going to call diet, you know, diet. And then it was going to say, die to it. Yeah. Yes, die to it. Because I feel like everything with the cross, you know, everything that you do with the cross, basically, like whether you're dieting, that's you saying no to you. Budgeting. That's why everybody struggles with all that stuff. Cause until that, you could even see somebody that really struggles with that. That means that their identity in the cross is not there, because you're gonna struggle more with, you know, you're always working on something. But at some point, some of those things should be worked on, right? Yeah. You shouldn't not ever budget your money, cause then you're not ever gonna steward it right. That's why you can't get. You're like, I can't give. I'm like, if I look at your stuff.
You can't give, you just don't.
You probably can. And the whole, I don't have time. No, you have time.
You just don't make it.
You just don't make time, or you spend a lot of time in your comfort.
Yeah.
So you actually don't change, right?
What does Pastor Vesto say? Growing things.
Healthy things grow.
Yeah.
Growing things change. Change brings challenges. And challenges give us the opportunity to trust in God.
Yeah.
Come on, Pastor Nesto. Come on. This is your time.
Rising room.
Hey, that's that mumble rap. It's like that, I'm in that generation. I'm in that generation. It's like a trust in God.
In Jesus' name.
Oh my God.
So, I had a thought. I don't remember now.
Right? Because it gets real hard for some people to like change disciplines,
priorities. I think sometimes when we hear change, we think it's this huge, you know, like mountain or this dramatic transformation. But the reality is that change is like tiny disciplines consistently being repeated over time. Same thing as a habit, right?
Yeah.
So when people are faced with the fear of change, they're thinking, oh, well, I gotta quit everything and stop this. And now I gotta, you know, get a new that and a new this. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, if we would just start change, whether it was just a tiny thing, maybe you're, you know, getting up 10 minutes earlier to read your word. Maybe it's, you know, small things that then ultimately with time create a large change. But change is change. You know what I mean? Like
change.
I was thinking about what you were saying. Like before Christ, like we're so willing to change, right?
For benefits us.
Yeah. But when it comes, I think when this is just for my personal experience, I think that when it comes to Christ, it's harder to change because there's more weight with it. You know, I think it requires more of you to change. Like when I used to change outside of Christ, I kind of was in control of that change.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm called to change in Christ, I don't know the outcome. And now my change in Christ requires surrenderance. Like it's almost releasing control and giving and trusting that His way, His outcome, what He's saying is true. So not only do I not know what's going to happen, now I don't have any control of it, you know? And that, I mean, that for me, that puts me in a place like, man, that's hard. That's hard to want to not just say I'm going to change, but to not have no control of what is it going to look like and say that I'm okay with that. That could be pretty, it could be fearful. You know what I mean? It can cause a lot of fear, especially for like myself, like coming from a life where I almost live the way that I assured I was going to have money, or I assured I was going to have dope, or I assured I was going to have some sort of backup plan. And in crisis, like, nah, like,
no, burning plan
I'm
B.
Plan A, B, S.
Yeah. Blow that up.
Yeah. That could be scary.
Yeah, totally. But, you know, even like that statement, like, think about it. Because let's say you're out there and you're thinking like that. The truth is, you know, I always tell this to people. I go, I know what I'm telling you. For you, it's a theory.
Yeah. Your fruit.
Yeah, for them, it's a theory because that whole cannonball, right? Like, no plan, no other plan. You already know everything you get over here. So you really have nothing to lose if you really think about it. You have nothing to lose. Everything to gain.
Yeah.
Because your worst thing is you go cannonball and you do it for like 2-3 years, which... No, I've never heard somebody go all in and actually read their Bible and pray and all that and go, this didn't work.
Yeah.
Only the people that actually weren't doing the things they needed to do. Mm-hmm. Okay?
That makes you a liar.
Yeah. So you could always go back. The bar's still gonna be there. Look, when I got out of prison, some of my friends were still on the same block, still doing the same. They still going to the club. I'm like, still going to the club? Like, same club, everything. It's like, you know,
same kind of wild.
Yeah, same hood, right? The wall still looks the same. You know, I'm like, wow, this didn't change at all. Like, you're like right back, right?
Yeah.
I mean, something's changed, like the wall maybe, but, you know, the people are still, it's the same thing. They're still going the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so I was reminded of, like, David. Remember David, he basically, you know, sinned with Bathsheba, right? He committed murder, all that stuff. And it's wild because when you look at David needing to change, you know that he had to change basically more than just in his own strength change, right? Because he says this. This is kind of what he said. He was like, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Because there was things in him, probably like pride, lust, selfishness, greed, all those things is actually what made him commit the sin.
Yeah.
So I think the problem sometimes even with change is that we're so much thinking of like, what am I going to get out of this? Because that's what we came out of, right? We try to do things in our own strength. But if David here, he's like, man, I messed up. He wanted a new heart, right? He wanted an attitude of, of the heart. And so that's, I believe, what, you know, a lot of us kind of have to understand that it's from that cross, right? It's not, you're not changing, because if you're trying to do it in your own strength, you're just going to be frustrated because you're going to, I got to stop getting angry. So you're going to try to stop getting angry next week, you know, and then you're going to get angry again. And then next month, you're going to get angry again.
Yeah.
It's only until we change, we actually accept truth on why we continue to get angry that way, right?
Even in with that mentality, now you're becoming, you're enslaved. You're in bondage to not getting angry.
Not getting angry.
To a law, basically.
Yeah.
Because now you set up the standard, like, man, if I get angry, I messed up. Or I'm not good enough. Or, you know what I mean? And if I don't
that
get
ever
angry.
Happened to you?
Oh, yeah. And
with
if
what?
I don't get angry, now I'm good. You know? I'm self-righteous because I didn't get angry.
Mm. Your acceptance comes from those things rather than in Christ.
Well, now you're a Pharisee, basically. Pharisee. And that's the motive, and I guess what empowers a pharisaical movement is that. Like, hey, I'm bound and enslaved to how good I portray Christianity or how good I live up to certain standards and laws, and now all of a sudden you're self-righteous or you're not good enough. You're condemned. You're self-condemnation.
You think that would change? Go ahead.
What I think sometimes even as we're talking, because I love, you know, we can't change in our own will, but a lot of times I think fear of change can come from the wrong motivation to change
all day long.
A lot of times I think, oh, well, I'll change, you know, so that my wife or so that my kids or so that my job or for someone else instead of, you know, for a boyfriend, for a girlfriend or whatever. And then all of it falls on another person who, oh, well, you know, I stopped drinking because of you and then you did this. So now I'm just going to that, you know, instead of having the motivation of change because of, you know, for yourself,
really
not
good.
Because of. Even in a non-selfish way of like, okay, I'm going to do this because it's going to be better for me or like a healthier version of me or whatever. But if you put your motivation on people or things, you know, then I feel like that
because they're imperfect
falter.
Because people are imperfect. So, you know, people, you know, you might be every time I say people, I think people.
People.
I'm like, people, big shout out to people. You know, sometimes in prison, like, yo, thanks, man.
I'm people.
I think, and you've probably heard me say this a lot, even when it comes to, like, you know, I try to do everything unto the Lord because people are imperfect. And so if you, like, let's say I'm only doing this for you, I'm doing this for you. Yes
well,
and
you
no.
You may not even say it. You just have it in your heart. Like, okay, my wife doesn't want me to go here anymore, so I'm just not going to. But you really didn't change the desire
the why.
Inside
the belief.
You.
Yes,
of like,
the belief.
Hey, this and that.
Of why you don't go.
And that's freedom, though. Living like that is freedom.
Oh, yeah, because God's perfect, so he's never going to fail me. So I'm always going to treat you the same.
Facts.
Even man, if you like, now I might tell you upset me, but I'm still going to give you that mercy, that grace, because he's perfect.
And then can nobody take advantage of you. Mm-hmm. And then you're a good friend because of that. You're a good son. You're a good husband because you're no longer living for a reaction, but you're living from identity.
Yeah.
And from fullness in Christ. Like I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be this.
You said from Christ, the before. Yes.
From fullness in Christ, I'm supposed to be like this. So I don't have to live like this for things to change.
Yeah.
If I live like this, He changes me.
Yeah.
And change comes from that. Like you don't have to necessarily. Change yourself, but if you draw close to God,
yeah,
if you fall in love with Jesus, if you spend time with Christ, He's gonna change you.
How about, do you think that we need help?
Well, I was gonna say, I think the first thing is to even ask the Lord to reveal and identify where you are in that, right? Are you in there because, like, where are you at in the fear of change, right? Are you doing it because
you still want to do what you're still doing?
Are you doing it because you've been motivating for other people, or is it just literally the fear that you don't think that God can? And so then that, in order for you to, like, you have to identify that to be like, man, God, you're right. Like, I don't think that you're big enough to heal or to save or this and that. And that's hard to think of yourself in that way. But
I don't think enough you could get, you're big enough to get a job. God, I don't think you're big enough. Like, that's good stuff.
And I think it's cool because, like, well, not cool, but I think it's cool that the Bible has all these stories of people who were incarcerated who had fears also. So it's kind of like you guys aren't alone in that sense because, man, people were imprisoned for Christ, a lot of times. So I guess because I like your perspective on it of maybe there's someone who's incarcerated thinking, oh, well, that's easy for y'all to say because you're not surrounded by all of this. And I think that's kind of what the lady was sharing with us is that, oh, it's hard for maybe someone who gets saved in Christ or saved in prison and now they have to behave a different way, even though we understand that, hey, you're going to face that same stuff here. But I think maybe if for somebody who's incarcerated and now has to live a different lifestyle.
I've been there.
What I mean. So I think if you speak into that.
You know,
it's gonna be hard.
Because when you come out here, but I get what she's saying, right? I get what she's saying, like, because we're out here now, right? He's in there, and I think it's just we say this is for the real ones, so it's just being real on who you are, right? Because if I'm just trying to be something, then the voices of all those people in there, like, let me tell you, when I was this last time that I was incarcerated. Was when I got the only time, like, I didn't get saved 50 times. I got saved one time, right? Like, before I knew about church, I knew about that. But I mean, saved, where like dudes are coming up and I'm like, yo, we had like the faith-based pod and it was on the third floor of this building. And then, but only to a certain time. And so the same way I was bold enough the other way, after a while, people started seeing that I was pretty serious about it. Like on the whole unit. Right? They're like, yo, Juan, to where people are like, yo, there was situations where I've kind of got in front to kind of help this guy, Cody, which rest in peace. And he committed suicide when he got out of prison because he couldn't handle life. Right? And so, but while we were in there, probably the only time and the last time I got locked up where I put my boots on was because, they were going to jump him. And guys were like, man, Juan, you don't have to do nothing in New York. We ain't save you. We got you. And they didn't let me do that no more. They respected the fact that it was real.
Yeah.
That it wasn't like, I love Jesus, but you back there smoking crack or doing cocaine. They respected the fact, right? So much so that, they would be smoking in the bathroom, but I would be like, yeah, up here is holy. They were like, we locked up New York. It's like, it's holy till 3 o'clock. Yeah. You can come back at 3 o'clock. And they respected it. Like, they didn't give me beef with it. Mm-hmm. But again, I think like if you're in prison and you're like, man, I'm changing and these people are saying I'm whack. I think you really need to check that walk. Yeah. Because the reality is that whether you're in gang, whatever it is, when you are actually, when they see you the real deal, like you actually praying, they honor that. Because if anything, when you're usually on your back, you're going to, the whole God thing, right?
Come experience the love that will change your life every Sunday at Get Rap Church.
Visit us at 23221 Alden Westfield Road in Spring, Texas, 77373 for 3 services at 9 a.m., 10:15 a.m., and 12 p.m.
Not in Houston, not a problem. Join us for our online service from anywhere in the world by downloading our free Get Rap TV app or by visiting Get Rap Church's YouTube channel.
Also, be sure to check us out at Get Rap People on all social media platforms to stay up to date on everything happening at Get Rap Church.
Even the cats that are like, yo, I don't, they would give me like prayer requests. the one, and literally be like, yeah, you know, I ain't rocking with that and all that, but you pray for my sister. Yeah. You know, like, all right, you know. So I think that person that might be afraid to change because he still has a lot of himself in that. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
I think it's the initial thought for all of us. Like, I remember when I was locked up, or whenever we were, somebody all of a sudden said, they so-and-so changed. They're like, yeah, all right, okay, we'll see.
Yeah, no,
we'll see how long it lasts, you know, and then a week later they're back in the trap or something.
Back,
so that's kind of like where I feel like that opposition comes from, or that like, oh, he hasn't changed. But it's like what you're saying, if you're consistent in it, and that doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you're consistently striving and changing and like, and you're like, hey, bro, I don't do that. Or you know what? I don't think like that. I'm trying not to be like that. And it's consistent. They'll honor it. You know what I mean?
All day long. And don't be, because every prison got like the cop, you know, like he first gets saved and he's like, you know, in Matthew 5, don't do that. Because you're putting yourself in a place where like, if you mess up, they're going to look at you like you crazy as hell. Like, so really extend that mercy and grace that's been extended to you, right? And I asked if we need help, because I think a lot of times we try to do it alone and we don't surround ourselves around the right people, mm-hmm. because some of those, I think everybody should lean upon the body and, you know, find that body part that you actually need, that's mature than you, right? That's going to tell you the truth. Like, we avoid that. We avoid that. It's almost like, oh, agitation. I'm avoiding it. You know, I don't want them to tell me. But if you're trying to actually change, you need somebody that'll call you out on your, I don't even know, BS? Is that a good way to say it? I'm like, and you, I really want to be like on your, you know, I want to let it go on your crabbity crap, you know. But it's true, though. I don't think you can actually, because, you know, there's like, oh, it's just me and God. It's like, you became your own Lord then. Like, who tells you, like, yo, you're tripping a little bit.
I
like, why you keep going
whenever
there?
Whenever people say that, or even like you were talking about on Sunday, when people say they don't go to church or all this different stuff, or I'm like, I always wonder, I'm like, Jesus. What part, like, what Bible are they reading? I'd be so confused. I'm like, where do you get that from? I'm like, because the Bible doesn't say any of those things, you know?
Yeah. But, oh, yeah, no, all day long. There he goes. Yeah,
I think change is, I mean, help is also good because of hope. Like, you need somebody to that can say, you know what, I've been where you've been at.
Do you think we need help though?
Yeah, that help does that.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm if I'm doing it by myself and I'm in a place where like this change is getting excruciating and it's hard and I feel like I'm gonna fail and I can't, that your help will be like, nah, bro, like you can.
You know? I mean, and they point out blind spots, right?
Facts.
Like sometimes you don't. Sometimes you're not like an like a hoo ha. I'm doing this evil thing. Sometimes you just don't see it, right? Like we've had conversations where I was like, hey, what about? And then you're like, you go and you think about it, or you take it to the Lord. That's the beauty of like, hey, you know, you're not doing this, but you say this, right? Like, because Jesus gives us and we say this, probably sound like a broken record, but it's so true. If you look at fruit, right? When you see a husband who's in Christ, who's not being a husband, doesn't make him evil. He just doesn't really know. He doesn't have the fruit of being a husband because he hasn't accepted or received actually truth on what a husband looks like or a father. Right? So, because I always tell people, I had to learn every single one of those. It's not like, oh, I came to church and everything was just awesome. No, I had to learn about my financial life. I had to learn about, because you come from a lot of old habits. And what we like to do is we like to go to church, go to Christ. We want all the blessings because we think blessings is, you know, God just gave you a Rolls Royce and stuff.
Yeah.
That's just hard work and you developing your gift. But, and you know, you can attribute, thank you, Lord, for the gift you gave me and the thing you gave me, right, that I was able to purchase this.
Right.
But that's not, you can't buy. I was listening with Josh the other day, you know, my son, and I go like, hey, I go, you know, Josh, you'll never be able to go to Walmart and be like, hey, let me get a gallon of like peace. Like, that just does not exist.
Self-control, brother.
It doesn't exist. You can't buy it like that. You, that's only gonna get those things in Christ.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think that we shun that, you know, because we don't even really know what friends are, right? So we think like, you hating. And it's like, no, I'm telling you that girl or that place you're going to. I had a conversation with a person that they were like really sad because their brother kind of, you know, he got the call that his brother was on drugs, and it's like an hour away or whatever. And supposedly, you know, some chick is feeding him the drugs, right? So he's like, I gotta go over there right now. I'm like, no, you don't. Like, I was like, who you taking with you? Like, you go. You needed like 3-4 dudes. Mm-hmm. Why?
Yeah,
just out of wisdom. Like, you might come out of there great, but what's wrong with, and if you don't want to take that, then you have to ask your heart why.
Yeah.
Because I've seen many a fall, you know, like, I've been in homes where people are doing meth and all that, but I literally had a few people with me, like 4 or 5 people. And if I had to talk to the person, I talk to the person and I say, yo, don't let me be in there a long time. Yeah. Like, they were right there with me. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of times,
it's wisdom.
It just throughout life, I see like, man, I ain't taking nobody with me. And I always go like, and those people are the ones that get high again. Or those people are the ones that mess up again. Mm-hmm. Because when you tell somebody for their own good, like, hey, you really shouldn't be going to that girl's house all the time. Like, and you know, she still gets high or whatever, right? And a person gets upset. It's like, I always say, I call that pulling the toy, like King Baby Syndrome, right? Like, you're pulling their toy, mm-hmm. and that's why the person really gets upset. Or we get upset. It's because somebody's pulling on your toy,
yeah.
right? You're like, you really want to do that, and there's a deeper meaning.
You're being sneaky.
There's a deeper meaning. You might not even see it, though.
Yeah.
You might not even see it. You're like, no, I'm just going to go help. It's like, yeah, but why don't you want to take nobody? There's something inside of you that actually probably wants to mess up mm-hmm. to come out later and be like, I messed up.
Yeah.
You know, because you could have just took the advice.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, I don't have no money. And somebody sits with you. Every time I've sat with somebody with money, they want to know where your money's going, where are your investments. Like, they, you know, how much are you spending? What is it going on? Like, these cats, most of these cats that I talk to, you know, they're like tied 10%, they save 10%, and they invest 10% every check.
Yeah.
Well, I'm only going to have this. You'll make it. You just got to learn how to live like this. And then eventually you see those people growing, and then you're like, man, it's like, no, they developed a discipline of living within their means so that they can invest. 3 years later, they got, you know, 50 grand. I mean, you hear that dude all the time, the Wall Street Trapper.
Yeah.
Like, not for nothing. Come on, he ain't like an anomaly. He's like, yo, I invest. And he's constantly showing you his finances. We don't want to do that.
Yeah.
We don't at all. We're like, oh, I'm going to just take that little 10% because you think, oh, $100 is not enough. Nah, you could do that.
Amen.
But that comes from a kingdom mindset.
Yeah.
Reaping and sowing. When you actually know that verse, right? You're just not like, you would sow. When you know that, you think about how you eat. You think about how you spend time with your family. You think about because your harvest. I had this conversation. Again, I feel like I have a lot of conversations like this. But yesterday with someone, and I was like, look, we were talking about being consistent in the things you were doing that got you where it got you. So what we do is we get here and we get inconsistent. So I asked him this question. I said, if these things got you here, mm-hmm. okay, and it took you 2 months? He's like, nah, years. I'm like, okay. So right. It took you years to get here, what you were doing here. So if you stop, you think in your head that, well, this month went fine, this year went fine. No, it took you years to get here. So it's going to take years for you to see actually the fruit of what you're sowing today.
Yeah, or what you stop sowing.
Or what you stop. Yeah. Yes, my point. Yeah. What you stop, because you're still sowing just in a stopping sowing, you know, because you're sowing no matter what, right? Yeah. To your destruction, though, right?
Laziness.
Bro, if you don't keep doing what you're doing, eventually, biblically, he says he'll take it away. If you don't use the light you have, I forgot the scripture, I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, I'll take it away. So think about that. Mm-hmm. Like, in other words, like, boom, you have this revelation, but if you don't, you start leaning this way, that just starts to diminish. And all of a sudden, what you thought you knew, gone.
Yeah.
So I think in change, if you just even think about that, just sowing, mm-hmm. like, what do you actually want? Well, I want a good marriage. First question I ask is, okay, what's good? Like, what's good?
Yeah,
you know, I want to be a good parent. Okay, what is good? Mm-hmm. And then I usually, if it involves another human, you know, I go, well, what do they think is good? Because if you're like, this is good, and Jonathan's like, this is good,
yeah.
and it ain't, and he don't know what you're good and you're good, y'all working going in out, two different directions.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know. Do you think that resistance to change means that we don't really trust God?
Yeah, I can.
All right.
Yes.
Like, yes.
I think it can mean that, but it can also mean that you don't know, you don't have a perspective, a proper perspective of it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what change really is. So I don't even think that I need change. I think the first step to changing is identifying that you need change. Because if you don't know you need change, you won't change it, you know? And then that kind of trickles down of like, I won't trust God. I won't, you know what I mean? I won't put no effort into it. It comes back to what you were saying, comfort. Mm-hmm. Like, we get comfortable and we don't think we need change because we're doing good.
And you should always be, pretty much, I think the word for it is maturing, right? So right. You should always be changing. Mm-hmm. You know, my classic that I've said a million times, you've already heard it, is the, you know, if you saw Ernesto and you didn't know him. You didn't know him. And so all of a sudden, you and you know he was at Walmart, and you saw his mom pushing him in a cart.
She was carrying me, and I was 25 years old.
Yeah, what would you say? What would you think?
Yeah.
You think, I mean, would you be like, oh, cool.
Something's wrong.
Right, something you would. Wrong, yeah. And I think, like, we don't think that.
With who, with me or my mom?
Yeah. Both. Yeah. Both. Yeah, with the person that's actually allowing you to stay that way.
Hmm. Preach that.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty accurate thing, right? So I think, like, when we even look at the word change, we're just not just talking about, you know, I would attribute that to maturing and growing.
I think part of the trusting God is getting to know him, right? Because maybe, like you said, you don't even have a perspective. Maybe you haven't even identified that there is something that you need to change. But I think the more that you get to know God and you read his word,
so good.
You identify the things that I'm like, man, I don't really act like that. Hey, I don't really do these things. Hey, I haven't really, forgiven or anything. And so I think to give yourself some grace on those things of, hey, if there is parts of your life that you haven't identified that you need to change, then it's then that you can trust in him knowing that, man, he makes all things new, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think don't just look. And I think we talked about this a lot. I think we said a lot, I think. But you know, I always like, if there's an outcome that I don't like or fruit or behavior, I, a long time ago, I stopped, you know, because you're like, man, I don't want to, you know, because you don't like the consequence. Mm-hmm. But I think something you said powerful, which lands under the word repent. There's a difference between, hey, I'm going to try to change this because you don't like the outcome. It's how you see that, right? So if it's anger or if it's, you know, your finances or the way you talk to people or greed or pride, you have to identify that lie and you have to actually change the way you think about that in order for, like, to have fruit that remains. Amen. You know, you could just keep going. Because if not, you're just stopping because, I stopped because I went to jail. But that trying to stay out, you're going to wind up in the same spot because your thinking is exactly the same or in the same relationship or in the same situation over and over again, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so.
Thank you guys for those topics.
Yeah. Thank you. Keep shooting the topics. We'd like to, you know, get more topics. It kind of helps us out.
Yeah. Kind of helps us out. There's a few more they mentioned.
And thanks to all the real ones, man, that are willing to, you know, humility is the first step to change. So, you know, when you hear these, you know, Mr. Truth Teller over there, you know, when you hear these and we're giving truth, I think, like, your first step is to be humble enough to actually admit where you are and accept what God has to say, believe, accept, right? So that you could bear fruit in your life, the fruit that you want to see. We want to make a special shout out to ISI. You want to do the What happened to the wow, it sounded like a big splash. Well, we want to thank ISI, man, for just always partnering with us and helping us keep this in the prisons and just all around the planet. And so thank you for your letters, thank you for your support. We're going to be giving some details on some prisons that we're going to be in here soon, and also for Don't Forget the Forgotten,
the Crusade,
I believe, in August. So love you guys. Thank you to all the real ones. Peace.
And that's a wrap.
Thank you. This is Real Family for joining us. You can be a part of the crew by following us on social media or writing us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267.
And don't forget, stay real.